So, as I was saying, that this universe is nothing but what? Vibration of so many colors and so many sounds. Every entity existing is a vibration. But as I said originally earlier, that originally there is only one vibration, and that is the vibration of the God. And all vibration emerged from it. This universe maintains its balance because of the attraction of one another. This whole universe is existing, it's in balance, it contains, it sustains because of this cosmic attraction. Everything in this universe attracts everything else. You look at the Earth is being attracted by the Sun, and the Earth also attracts the Sun. Sun attracts the Earth, and the Earth attracts the Sun. As a result, what happens? The Earth moves around the Sun. The Moon attracts the Earth, and Earth also attracts the Moon. We call that gravitation in science. But it is attraction. So attraction is a natural law of universe. There is no such thing as repulsion. There is only attraction. At the most you can say negative attraction. But you cannot say attraction is a negative repulsion. Because fundamentally this universe sustains itself, maintains itself through these internal attraction for one another. So the Sun attracts the Earth and attracts all the planet. What attracts the Sun? Is Sun steady? No, Sun is also moving. Sun is moving around what? In the galaxy, our galaxy. Right? So in our galaxy, the center, the nucleus of the galaxy, you know, galaxy is so vast, many, many light years from one end to the other, gigantic, huge space. And everything in this entire galaxy is moving, 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 like this. Moving around what? The nucleus of the galaxy. Our whole solar system is moving also. Our Sun is moving in the around the center of this galaxy. While Sun is moving around the galaxy, Earth is moving around the Sun. And while the Earth is moving around the Sun, Moon is moving around the Earth. So you can imagine that this whole galaxy and everything, millions and billions and billions of stars and their planets, they are all moving around what? One nucleus of this galaxy. Well, that's just one galaxy. Then you have so many millions and billions of galaxies. They are also moving around the circle. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is the center of universe? Ultimately, everything is moving around that one. And not only one universe. Now, as you may have read, recent research shows that there are so many parallel universes existing. By that, I don't mean just our galaxy and another galaxy and another galaxy and another galaxy in this universe. Yes, all of that, but that is only one universe. Then there is another parallel universe in which you also exist. So Sarita is there in this universe. Sarita is also present in another parallel universe. And there are so many parallel universes within which we exist, but we are not able to see. because we are contained within this universe. So the point is, this gigantic universe is so big, yet it has also a nucleus. And this nucleus is God. This is Purushottama. This is the center of creation for this entire existence. And just as the sun attracts the earth, so does God attract everything else around it. All the creation, everything is attracted, and everything moves around. Whether or not one likes it, one has to move, one has to dance around. If the earth says, I will not dance around the sun, no, it will have to dance. Moon says, no, I don't want to go around the earth. No, it can't say that, it has to go. That is the law of nature. That is the law of attraction. And in this law of attraction, the whole creation is moving around the nucleus, one nucleus. And this nucleus is called Krishna. Krishna means universe exists because God exists. I exist because the earth exists. Earth exists because the sun exists, right? If sun disappeared, what will happen? The earth will disappear too, be destroyed. We will destroy too. So, we exist because the earth exists. Earth exists because the sun exists. Sun exists because the galaxy exists. So, successively as you go, you will see that our existence depends on our nucleus. And what is the nucleus of this universe is Purushottama, cosmic consciousness. This nucleus is the witnessing consciousness, which is what we call God. That God, that witnessing consciousness, is all-pervading, existing in every existence, at all time, all-knowing, all-present, omnipotent, omniscient, beyond time, space, and person. God and Supreme Consciousness, time does not limit it. Time limits us. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, and we forgot what happened 1,000 years ago. We forgot. Because we are bound in time, God is beyond time. So for God, everything is present. God is beyond space. We are in this room. We don't know what is happening in the next room. Because we are bound in space. God is without space. So God persists and knows everything, everywhere, simultaneously. So, our purpose, we are so small existence in this world. Yet, we have a purpose. We have a grand purpose. And it is possible for us to know this Supreme Consciousness, this Supreme Nucleus of the universe. And that is spirituality. What is spirituality? It's called, in Sanskrit, it's called dharma. Dharma means spirituality. Dharma means essence, very essence, very purpose of life. Dharma, dharma of the fire is to burn. If it didn't burn, we wouldn't call it fire. So dharma means intrinsic characteristic of something that defines that thing. Fire is defined by this burning ability. So, our purpose is to know God. That is the purpose of human life, is to comprehend what is this supreme nucleus of this universe. how do I come to know this Creator? At human stage, our mind has developed to a point where we can understand that, yes, I am more than this body, I am more than this mind, I am more than even this consciousness. I am an existence of the supreme vibration. And although I am limited in time, space, and person, but by retracting back from cause to effect, and effect back to cause, and to effect back to cause, I can reach the supreme causal matrix. I can reach the supreme point from which where the creation began. And this is done through practice of meditation. Meditation is a tool, a practice developed in order to help so that you can come in contact with this cosmic consciousness. As I said, this world is based on the forces of attraction. So as you meditate, as you develop through meditation, what happens? You are attracting God towards you. Just as a God is an almighty force attracting not only you, but the whole universe. Right? I said earlier that God is a supreme nucleus. What that means is that it attracts everything. For something to be nucleus, it has to attract. Right? That's what it means by nucleus. Nucleus means it attracts everything else around it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be nucleus. Everything will fly away. So, at a human stage, mind has developed to a point where mind knows that supreme nucleus exists, that I came from this supreme vibration, that I am the vibration of that supreme, that I, what is this I? Who am I? Yes, I am that vibration. And yet I am bound in a small frame called human being. But knowing this supreme vibration, knowing the supreme consciousness, I can become one with that vibration. This knowledge you possess, and the practice you have is meditation. You use the practice of meditation in order to realize this purpose of human existence. So when you meditate, you are basically asking the question as to who am I? Who is meditating? Question comes, who is meditating? I am meditating. Who is I? If I ask you to define what is I, what will you say? We talked about that in the last class. What is that I? And you may not be able to answer it. You won't be able to answer it. I is not this body, because there is something more than this body. Well, it's something called mind. Well, is there something higher than mind? Yeah, maybe there's something higher than mind, something more deeper in my mind, my consciousness. You know, we talk many times, my consciousness struggling with my mind, my spirit struggling with my mind. We say things like this. So what is this? Who are you? What is your mind? What is your spirit? So, because in order for us to know God, to practice spirituality, we have to know who we are. Who is it that is meditating? So, in meditation then, you gradually try to retract yourself to a higher and higher level of existence that you possess. You are beyond body, beyond mind, beyond consciousness. And that is why when we were meditating, we were slowly removing the mind to a higher and higher and higher place. within your body, within your mind, within your consciousness. And when you reach that supreme climax within, about the subtlest existence that you possess, then from that subtlest I, you meditate. And meditation is an effort to know that inner vibration and try to align it with the vibration of God. And mantra helps you in so doing. Mantra is a special word. It's a word created to help the mind to know God. Mantra means that whose repetition, by repeating that word, you are able to liberate the mind. That which liberates the mind, that which liberates through its repetition, that is called mantra. In Sanskrit, it is said, mananat tarayet yastu saha mantra parikirtita. Means that which liberates the mind through its repetition is called mantra. And mantra carries with it vibration of God. And by inhaling that mantra in the depth of your being, by taking your inner vibration and aligning it with mantra, what you are doing, you are slowly, slowly closing the gap that you experience between yourself and God. We are all human beings. We know we are one vibration, but we don't feel that. I don't feel like I am one with God. I always feel like I am Kirit. I don't feel like I am one with Mantosh. I always see he is Mantosh. I am Kirit. We feel this difference, although we know that there is only one vibration. So this gap needs to be closed. We need to close this gap. And that's what meditation does. As you meditate, you begin to see things at higher and higher level of existence. And very soon you will say, oh, this is nothing, something higher. I think at this point, we all know. If I asked you, who are you? And you say, well, I am this body, I am this mind. You know, you will start fumbling. Oh, I think I am this. Well, no, I think I am mind. You will start fumbling this. But I think we will all agree that this jacket is not Kirit. We can see that much very easily, that this is not Kirit. This jacket is not Kirit. Maybe this body is Kirit. Maybe this is Kirit. Scientists will say, some scientists say there's no mind. There's only body and brain. Okay. But even scientists, they will all agree that this is not Kirit, this is its clothes. That means that we are able to see something subtle beyond these clothes. We have evolved enough to know that this is a clothes and this is a body. But as through meditation, as you evolve higher, and you begin to see higher vibration, you will see that this body is like a cloth, it's like a jacket. That's not Kirit. This body is not Kirit. Just as this jacket is not Kirit, as I become more subtle, I see this body is not Kirit. It's certain vibration, certain five fundamental factors put together in certain proportion with certain vibration. That's what this body is. That is not Kirit. Yes, now I have evolved to a point where I see that, you know. So, as you meditate, you begin to see subtler and subtler existence of your own self and subtler existence in others. As you see subtle existence in others, now you begin to see oneness. Now you begin to see that we are all composed, become same vibration, from the same vibration. Now I will not see the difference between Man, Tosh and Kiri. They will feel like one being. And then what will happen? Kirit will know Manatosha's mind. And your mind, and your mind, and your mind. Because my vibration has become one. So I know what is in your mind without you telling me. As you progress higher level of awareness through higher meditations, what happens? Gradually, your individual vibration merges into the cosmic vibration. And as you merge in the cosmic vibration, you witness everything just as cosmic vibration is witnessing everything else. Right? When a river, as long as the river is going down the mountain and through the plain, it is a river. But once it merges in the ocean, we cannot say this is river and this is ocean water and this is river water. It has become one. Same way, through meditation, as our vibration merges in the vibration of God, we also become God. We also know the universe. We will also know past, present and future. We will know all about the planets and everything else without studying one book. You will know all there is to know about everything because you become one with the cosmic vibration. And that is the purpose of human life. The purpose of human life is to become one with God. That is the dharma, as I said. Defining characteristic of human life is to know this one cosmic vibration. And meditation is a process that gradually, step by step, takes you inward so that you can align this vibration. That's it. Meditation is not a great mystery of any time. It's a very natural process. It's a natural journey towards where we came from originally in the first place. So meditation is not a religion. People of any religion can practice. Nobody will disagree with what is meditation. Doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Muslim, or what particular faith you have. But everybody knows that God is the creator. And everybody knows that our purpose is to serve God, is to know God, to be that. And that's all meditation. So you are not worshipping some god as you might in certain religion, certain deities. No. You are worshipping that one cosmic vibration that is persistent throughout the universe. It is okay, you may be worshipping certain deity, there is no problem. Because all those deities, all the gods, all the religion, everything you say is but only one. It is only one. And when you create an external deity, remember it's a creation of human mind. It's not the original thing. If you create, in Islam, they have this Kaaba. Kaaba, you know? This huge stone that they have. They use that as a representation of cosmic God. But that stone is a creation of human mind. If you have an idol of something, that idol is created by human mind. Human mind created it, gave it a form. And it's okay if you use that as a springboard for your meditation, or your ideation. But that is not God. God is without form, omnipresent, omniscient. Any question? I think probably today is over here now. I said, I must be very good then.
I understand everything.
Or I must be very bad.
Or I'm just lost in the... No.
What is conscience? What does that say?
Consciousness?
No, conscience. You know when Siri says, I listen to my conscience?
Yeah, conscience. It is a... The word for that in Sanskrit is vivek. Conscience is, if you look up the dictionary meaning, it's a judgment, being able to decide, you know, being able to know right from wrong. That's our conscience. Now, what is the basis of this conscience? The judge sits in the bench. You know, you have plaintiff and defendant go to the court and they are arguing with each other. At the end, judge gives the decision. At that time also, judge is exercising conscience. But that conscience is based on certain rules. Foundation of law is what that conscience is. In our life, we also have a conscience. A conscience is judgment, our base from which we make decision. For a spiritualist, people that pursue spirituality in life, the conscience comes from the base for that consciousness. Right? You understand? The base from that consciousness. Conscience comes from cognitive faculty, from the spirit. So your spirit guides your conscience. Should I do this? Should I not do that? I can steal this object. Nobody saw it. I'm very happy. I stole this. Nobody saw, but somebody did see. Oof. My conscience. My spirit saw that. And my spirit told conscience that was not my thing to do. So, on one hand, I am happy. Nobody saw me. I stole the glasses. Nobody saw me. Now I have a glasses. But after a while, your spirit begins to say, don't do that. So your conscience has certain foundation, certain basis from which it operates. For the spiritual people, this foundation comes from cognitive faculty, witnessing consciousness. There are people who don't believe in consciousness, don't believe in spirit. They are purely materialistic. Their endeavor in life is materialistic. They are hardly worth being called human being because, you know, human being has a higher capacity, better understanding, better ability, self-introspection. All of these things are there. And if human being chooses to disregard all of that, then human being becomes materialistic. I have the consciousness to know wrong and right, and I choose to ignore it. There are many people who do that. So their conscience operates on a different base, different level. But for us, our conscience should develop its guiding point, guiding phenomena from our spirit. Do you have Baba's book on neo-humanism and liberation of intellect?
I have to check.
Yeah, check there. There's a chapter 9 in it. it talks about awakened conscience. What is an awakened conscience? The word for conscience in Sanskrit is Sanjay. Sanjay means conscience, judgment, wisdom of judgment. And that chapter 9 on awakened conscience talks about what should be the guiding force and how. Okay, nobody has anything to say?
What do you do when your mind goes around, when you have so many thoughts? It's like a train that is through to your mind. What do you do to focus?
Okay, imagine yourself. The question was, what do you do when the mind goes all wild, when you're trying to meditate? Right? Mind goes everywhere. And as you know, this problem is not with just one person. It's a universal problem. Even after 20 years of meditation, you will have the same problem. In spiritual scriptures, human mind is compared with a monkey. What kind of monkey? Have you seen monkey, right? If you have a monkey here, would it be quiet one moment? No, it'll be jumping, climbing all over the place, right? You can imagine how restless the monkey is. But what is human mind? Human mind is not like monkey only. It's like a monkey that has been bitten, has been bit by scorpion. Can you imagine wild monkey and bit by a scorpion? Can you imagine how crazy that monkey would be? Our mind is even more crazier than that. Because mind has so many preoccupations. You know, human mind, as the mind becomes more and more complex, human mind is very complex compared to animal mind of the planet. As mind becomes more complex, what happens? The propensities increases. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. After this, I will do this. If he says this, I will say this. If he does that, I will do this. As the mind becomes more powerful, strong, has so many facets to it, so many options, intellectuality, intuition, intellectuality, all these things are there, mind has many, many bubbles constantly coming up. One bubble goes, another comes, another goes, another comes, one goes, creates another bubble, that goes away, creates another bubble. So it's like this pot through which all these thoughts are going to come, constantly come. Let them come. That's what the meditation is for. What happens as you meditate, that these, all these bubbles, thoughts will come out of your mind and will dissolve eventually. So, verily, when you meditate, it allows for discharge of all these bottled energy. It allows for you to let go of all those things. That is why you feel relaxed. You say that you feel relaxed at the end of meditation. Why? How do you feel relaxed when all this stress surface and come out, right? So that's what happens in meditation. All these thoughts come out of brain and discharge themselves. So, first of all, you have to expect that that will be there. So, don't think that that is such a negative thing. It will be there with you for next, as long as you live and meditate, you will have that phenomenon. So what do you do is, what would you do if the monkey was here? What would you do? Or if Arush was here playing around? Let's make more realistic situation. What would you do, monkeys? Suppose we're having
son.
A class.
Oh. Her three-year-old son. You would.
We have a class. We are working on something. We have a class. So what do you do?
Yeah. Give him a banana.
Give him a banana. If it's a monkey, give him a banana.
I do the trick for the lion, but not for a monkey. Because we said in Puerto Rico, even a lion, when you
Yeah.
You can make it slip in your feet.
Yeah.
But if you get angry, he can bite you.
Strike back, right? So, right, exactly. So what you do...
And the lion will bite you.
Yeah.
But the lion get angry.
No, because it's like a symbolic thing. It's, you know that the lion is a beast.
Right.
It's going to be looking for protecting itself. But if you are... I don't know how to play this in English.
Pet.
Yeah, if you pat it, you can make it sleep in your feet. Mm-hmm. No problem for you, no dangerous. But if you push it or hit him, he's going to bite you.
Come back, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, exactly, that's how you deal with it. In some sense...
I don't know how to calm down a monkey.
Yeah. Well, what you have to do is to, within reason, you just ignore it. Basically, if you tell the monkey, don't jump there, what will it do? Don't climb there. You want to climb even more, right? Because mm-hmm. now there's somebody playing with him, and you want to challenge him. Hey, he says, don't do it. Hey, now I'm really going to do it, right? So you're feeding the wildness in the monkey by trying to curtail it. So what do you do with the monkey? You let him play. Eventually he will get tired and sit down because he will run out of the energy. So when you're meditating, these thoughts will start emerging. Okay. So basically, be a witness to the thought. Let the thought go. Let it go. And you continue moving towards your mantra. Always try to take deeper breath and continue practicing your mantra. The monkey may be running around. What do? You continue having our conversation. Eventually monkey will realize there's nobody playing with me. So will come and sit down with you. So when you're meditating, these kind of thoughts will come and you just have to remain focused in your own thought. And as you become more and more focused in your own thought, other things will calm down and sit down. But like you said, Naomi said, if you fight with it, with those thoughts, then it'll just come at you with a double force. And you can do some other things also, proper diet, proper exercise, proper attitude of life, and kirtan and meditation. Proper, you know, when we do kirtan in the beginning, that's what it does. It helps dissolve these monkeys in our mind. So, practice of kirtan is very good. You should practice as much as you can before doing meditation. It will help to calm the mind. Sarita, any other question? Human life is a very, very valuable thing. After many, many, many lifetimes of struggle, you know, one receives the human mind and body. After many, many millions of years of struggle, finally you receive human body and human mind. So human mind and human body should be properly utilized for the purpose that it was created for the purpose of spiritual elevation. The dogs and animals, they cannot meditate. They cannot think about God. They are not capable of thinking about God. They don't even know who they are. They don't even ask that question, who am I? Only human being does that. So that means that you have a greater responsibility. And greater dharma, greater characteristic, and that characteristic is to know your creator. And that is spirituality. Spirituality is not anything else. It's very simple. Spirituality is a constant effort at trying to know God. And that means trying to know who you are. That's it. That's spirituality. Of course, people have written big philosophy, big scriptures, big meditation, big process. Many saints came and taught so many things. Yes. But all around, very simple, simple core. And that simple core is, who am I? What is my purpose? And how do I fulfill it? That's it. Simple as that. So, Naomi, you should learn proper meditation. We have a proper teachers. And if you want to formally learn it, there's a formal lessons, formal practice, formal starting procedures that you should practice with. And as I told you on the phone, you can practice it at home. And you can work with Brian or Saril, Brian that was here. And if you put together maybe 10, 12 people, then we can open a class that perhaps Saril can teach, or Brian, or together, they can teach the basic class in meditation. And then you can work out the timing, time and place, and all the rest of it. So I encourage you to do that. You'll be helping a lot of people. We live in a crazy world. Every day things are becoming more and more difficult, more and more crazy. You know, human being has become so extroverted. Human being has lost balance within. Has only become extroverted. It's dangerous. So people need to be brought back inwardly. And you'll be doing favors to many people by showing them this way. So my suggestion is set something up. You have his phone number and also Brian's. Together, you can initiate a program. Okay. So if you have no more questions, then we'll end today.